Hello, my loves. This is Lior Alexandra. Welcome to the Inner Worlds podcast, a place where we explore the microcosm of ourselves, of one another, of the whole universe, a journey inward through thought, idea, and wonder. Hello, my loves, and welcome to a new episode of Inner Worlds. On this episode, I have Indy the Alchemist, or Dr. Indy Einstein, as she's known on Twitter and by her community. And we're going to be talking about super esoteric concepts today, which I know you love, just like I do. We're going to be talking about the transhumanism agenda. It's something that, in my opinion, has been not at all covert. It's right in our faces, and today, Indy and I talk about what that agenda actually is, how it's infiltrated our lives already, what the goal is, who's behind it, what we need to know, and how we can navigate it. We also talk about the deep, distorted matrix and how Indy sees it, and revoking our energy from anything that's trying to siphon it off. We're also going to be talking about the process called decoding, something Indy is well known for, in which she decodes symbolism presented in the matrix in the form of media and world events. I think you're going to feel really nourished by this conversation, despite the super deep and esoteric concepts, just like I was by Indy in her mind. We have really exciting stuff today, guys. So let's get into it. Okay, the beautiful and majestic Indy the Alchemist, or Dr. Indy Einstein, is a psychic channeler, a spiritual free agent, which I'm going to have you explain to everyone what that is, because I loved your explanation of it when we first talked. Also a decoder, which we're going to talk about today. Hi, Indy, my love. I'm so happy to have you here today, despite our several technical difficulties.
Yes, I'm excited to be here finally. I'm excited to talk to you about everything.
Yes, I want to get to know you a little bit better and introduce you more to my community. So if it's okay, I want to talk a little bit about your life and what led you here a little bit before we get into transhumanism and decoding.
Okay, so when it comes to like my spiritual journey, I always tell people that this is something that I've been doing for like lifetimes, right? So there's not really like a start and stop in anyone's spirituality, but definitely not mine, because I always say I've been here before, whether it's on Earth, different systems, different, you know, galactic planets or whatever you want to call it. I am basically just kind of like a remembering or recycling of this old energy, right? So my spiritual journey obviously started like at birth. But I would say my conscious spiritual journey, which is like me actually remembering what I'm here to do or what spirituality even is, seeing that this is a matrix, that started at a very young age. I always tell people, like, I got into astrology when I was 6 years old. Wow. So I got into that, yeah, from reading newspapers. My grandma always used to have a newspaper that she brought in. They always used to, you know, back in the day, at least, you'd get a newspaper every day on your whatever, right? So I used to read the horoscope column or whatever, and it always had Leo. And I remember I was a Leo because my grandmother was a Leo. So that's something that, like, all right, I'm a Leo, my grandma's a Leo. I thought that was really
wow,
because I really admired her when I was younger. So I started to like read the horoscope daily or whenever they would like upload it or whatever on the or put it on the column for the horoscopes or whatever. And for some reason, I guess it was that old energy remembering, because it was triggered by me reading horoscopes and things like that. For some reason, I just wanted to get more into it. So I started to read books. I went to the library because I was a huge bookworm when I was younger, like very Einstein-y, right? So I was really into learning, really into books. Like for Christmas, I only wanted books. Like all of my money went on books. I remember I got asked one time, like, when a family member was going away on vacation, they were like, what do you want? And I was like, I wanted thesaurus. So like, I was really into like books and stuff like that when I was younger. So I got into astrology. And then one thing led to another when it comes to like spirituality, kind of just like a domino effect, right? So one thing led to another. And in the same place where you have books for astrology, you have books for spirituality and books for self-help and books for esoteric information, right? So I wouldn't say I got into it obviously as young as six on the esoteric realm of things or spirituality, but around 12, I started to kind of go through some depression because of like karma that I was going through with family at the time. So I never believed in like pharmaceuticals or like medicine, pills, things like that. I come from a Caribbean family once, so we don't believe in like medicines like that.
Right.
But also I just never really felt called to. My mom was like, if you want to go on it, you can. But I always knew to avoid that type of thing. So I would start to heal myself through like herbal remedies. But I also discovered yoga and meditation and things like that. So when you discover yoga and meditation, you discover chakras, you discover, you know, Reiki, Kundalini, your third eye. So that I would really say my spiritual journey started at like 12 and was off and on until 18. Then I had my big awakening at 18, basically. And that's when I really got into the energy that I'm in now. And it's just been like elevating and ascending ever since.
I think that people who are just listening, they probably wouldn't know how old you are, because from reading your work and from talking to you, I believe that you've been here for lifetimes doing this, because that shows up in your maturity. You're turning 22 or you're turning 23?
I'm a Jordan year. Yeah, I'm turning 23. And yeah, everybody says that. Even when I was telling you about this the other day, like on the phone, when I was younger, everyone kind of felt this energy about me and my family. My family didn't necessarily know what it was. You know, they're not necessarily into that type of, you know, stuff like past lives and things like that. But they just always felt that there was this old soul energy to me. And we were actually just talking about that, like a family gathering we had like a few months ago, how like my cousin who like watched me grow up, she was like, she knows I'm a psychic now and things like that. And she was like, it's crazy because when you were younger, we always felt something about you, but they didn't know what it was. So yeah, everyone always thinks that like, I'm like 29 or like, you know, late 20s. I'm like, no, just 23.
Totally wise beyond your years. And it's something that's felt, even though you have also this like freshness about you, which I love. So that aspect of your life kind of started around 6 years old and then developed at 12. We have a lot of parallels in our life. And I think that's really interesting, because lately I've been studying more about the subconscious mind. And I have this sort of theory that kids who grew up reading a lot will have an easier time connecting to their spiritual abilities because of the expansion that happens in our minds around the ages of 6, 7, when we're so programmable and we're reading all this fiction. And I don't think fiction is actually, most of it is actually fiction. I think it's channeled information most of the time. So I think that there's, so we have that parallel with us that we were bookworms. And I'm curious if anybody listening experiences that too, that being a bookworm really pushes, really nurtures those psychic abilities.
Yeah. And it makes sense too, because the subconscious mind, which is like, if you had to parallel it, the subconscious mind is a spiritual realm. Conscious mind is like the earthly material realm. Right. The door to the subconscious mind or the spiritual mind is through, you know, the conscious mind. So in a way, it's through logic. Most people wouldn't really think about that, but it makes sense, like in a way, to get to the, you know, grand awakening and to expand your third eye, you have to do it through your consciousness. And it's funny because the brain is located in the same area as the third eye and the pineal gland. So
So it would make sense that some sort of awakening can be triggered by that conscious self, the rational self, by maybe getting some information into it, right? Reading something or reading a book. So that makes total sense. I never thought about it like that, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Indy, what is a spiritual free agent and what do they do?
Okay. So I don't know if anybody else identifies as a spiritual free agent, but I am what I like to call a spiritual free agent. So basically what that is, is when I got into spirituality, like I was telling you, I never felt called to just one branch, one philosophy, one way of thinking, one way of being. But I noticed, like, you know, like any other group of, you know, like any other study or any other topic or hobby or whatever people get into, they kind of form sections. It's just kind of like human nature to kind of click off into different areas, right? I never felt, you know, called to do that with spirituality. I never felt like, oh, I'm into like the Eastern, you know, philosophies, or, oh, I'm into right. the age things, or, oh, I'm into, you know, chakras or this and that. I was, or astrology or numerology. I always kind of knew how to blend all of the different philosophies and religions and everything to find truths. I feel like every single thing that exists on earth for us to like access and read and see through what I call light knowledge, which is knowledge you can read, you can pick it up and read it. It's not like in the astrals or in the Akashic or awaken through your DNA, which is dark knowledge, right? So I feel like anything that we can see is in a way a symbol of something higher or something more spiritual. So I could literally find coding, which when we get into decoding, I guess we'll talk more about this, but I could find coding in anything. Anything right. that happened, you know, and this is what people will call a thinking too deep, right? But it's really, I really feel like there's symbolism in everything. So I never really had to like stick to a certain branch of, you know, of a study or stick to a certain philosophy or principle when it came to my spirituality. I always felt like I can take not only spiritual concepts or philosophies, but also like biology, neuroscience, finances, sports, basketball, hence the name, to find something deeper about what's going on in this matrix, occult information, spirituality, so on and so forth. So my ex was really into basketball. So I always learn about LeBron and stuff like that from him. And I learned through him that LeBron is what they would call a free agent. So I'm not that into like basketball. So, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know with free agents in basketball, you have looser guidelines when it comes to whatever team you play for or your contracts. So I always felt like I have looser guidelines when it comes to how I navigate this world or my spirituality. I don't feel like I have a lot of things that bind me. I don't feel like I have a lot of contracts that I need to, you know, abide by. I don't feel like I have a lot of boxes that I need to fit into. I always kind of felt like I could do my own thing. And this is how it's always worked out for me. So that's how I kind of coined the term spiritual free agent.
I love that label. It's perfect because, you know, that's really how I see myself too. My entire life, I've always jumped from discipline to discipline and philosophy and studied Eastern religion and then moved over to the Jewish mysticism and Gnosticism. And what I've noticed is that there's an underlying truth there that connects all of these different things. So how can we think that one religion or one culture or one philosophy has the whole picture when really, and that you actually led me to my next question for you, that I totally agree with you. I know that you believe that every single thing that exists is kind of this clue to remind us why we're here, right? What this is all about is what you say. So I totally agree with you. And I see everything as interconnected and everything is meaningful. If we're looking too deep into things, whatever, it makes sense to us. Something in our mind shifted for us to be able to see the interconnectedness of all things, right? Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if reality is like this puzzle that we're meant to figure out. Yeah. We've forgotten why we're here and what the point is. So if somebody is just starting to notice these signs, or if somebody wants to be more aware of them, where would they start? Where would you guide them to start?
Well, I guess I would start with synchronizations that they notice. So if a lot of people kind of seem to start, I notice in spirituality, if they don't go the astrology route, they go numerology. And numerology is easy because you can look at a clock and you see 555, or, you know, you go to the gas station and you pump your gas and it just stops at, you know, 33, 33, or you get a receipt and it's an 11, 11, and people start to kind of like their conscious and subconscious mind kind of come together to, you know, notice the pattern, like, oh, I'm seeing 11, 11 everywhere. I'm seeing 555 everywhere. Some people won't take it further than that. They'll just say, oh, it's just a coincidence, or, oh, I'm just noticing it, because they're not fully bypassing that logic to enter the subconscious mind, right? But then you have people who are actually curious, who are the people who probably want to know how to get into, you know, decoding, things like that. So I would say start on like a personal level for your personal life. Start with synchronizations, things that you see, numbers, colors, phrases, names, letters, whatever you're seeing in excess, there is a message for you there. So dive into that deeper. What that's going to do is not only help you with your personal life and your personal spirituality, but that's also going to help exercise your brain to start to pick up on these patterns even more and to kind of connect your intuition to the logic of picking up on patterns to see, okay, why do I keep seeing this? And, oh, wait, I noticed that I saw this at this time, at this date, or I'm noticing that I'm seeing three times, and three even has a meaning. So what does that mean that I saw it three times versus five times? Just kind of like literally connecting the, you know, the dots.
Right.
The next would be etymology. So etymology is looking at the deeper meaning of words. So let's say you take like a headline from a newspaper, right? Or like a news article from CNN, you would want to break down the headline title for like etymology, right? So if they use, oh, for example, with the whole like ocean fires and stuff like that, right. I noticed that they were using a lot of words that start with mar. So marine, or what was another one? I think there's a place in California called like Mariposa or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Like stuff, words that start with the M-A-R, that's connected in etymology to the sea, to the waters. So you will kind of start to like piece that together. Like, okay, there's a lot going on with the waters, a lot of flooding, a lot of ocean fires. And now they're using a lot of words randomly, but not so random with M-A-R. So you'll make the connection once you find the etymology of that. Okay, there's a lot of words that have to do with the sea or water or the oceans. There must be a message right now about the oceans or the sea or the waters. And you really just do that for all words. And you're going to start to see how literally our language really just acts as a secret code or a secret language for certain groups of people, right? I always tell people the news is not really the news. What they report on the news isn't to truly inform the collective or society. It's to get out a secret message through words used or, you know, types of stories put out there, right? So etymology, synchronizations, I feel like is the best place to really start.
That's very accessible, the way that you put it. So that is basically decoding, right? The etymology and looking at numbers. Could you talk a little bit about what decoding is, your process of decoding, what led you to using that, I guess?
Yeah. So I would say decoding is basically just looking at the deeper meaning of what's truly going on in our matrix. It's basically breaking down the matrix, or what you can really call the matrix within the matrix, because like I'm not going to get into it too much here, you know, it'd be too long. But we're kind of living in the distorted matrix or the false matrix within the true matrix that is actually, you know, an intelligent system that's actually supposed to work from, you know, in a balanced way. We kind of live in a distorted reflection of that matrix. So decoding would be breaking down that distorted matrix, you know, and also kind of allowing, when you decode the distorted matrix, it brings you closer to the actual matrix. Because what a lot of people don't understand is when it comes to the symbols used in the distorted matrix, it's just a reflection, a distorted reflection of actual cosmic, spiritual, energetic truths. They do this not only because imbalance represents chaos and destruction, right? But they do this because if I want someone to stay away from something, I will want to make them think it's evil or it's something that you don't want to tap into. So a lot of occult symbols, people, even like conspiracy theorists and stuff like that, they will see something 666, for example, and say, oh, this is evil. I need to stay away from this because this is, you know, what Freemasons use or Satanists or things like that, when it's really just a backwards version of an actual cosmic truth. So you need to dive even deeper. You know, it goes beyond just looking at, you know, the black and white checkered floors or the upside down triangles or crosses and 666. You have to actually decode those symbols, and it's going to take you to the true matrix. Because a lot of people would think, you know, a lot of people tell me all the time when I'm decoding, oh, you're just getting lost in their game. You know what I mean? Or you're getting lost in their rabbit holes because they want you to get lost in the symbols, but it's like everything that I have decoded, not only has it shown itself to be true, you know, for a lot of things actually this year and last year.
I've seen a lot of that on Twitter too.
Yeah. It actually leads me back to myself and my purpose and the purpose of our existence. Like it actually teaches me more about spirituality than any form of spirituality that I've ever practiced or I've ever seen someone else practice. So decoding, if you do it right, and you actually put the puzzle pieces together and you connect the right dots, it's actually going to lead you to the cosmic truths. And that's why I kind of always say, and I always wonder, it reminds me of Willy Wonka. I don't know if you remember the scene in Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory, where I forget what his name was, but it was the guy who was trying to get the kids to find the secret like formula of the gobstop from Willy Wonka. And he said, I'm going to pay you this amount of dollars if you find the formula. And then at the end, it turned out that he was actually working alongside Willy Wonka to see if the kids will actually, you know, turn on him and give away this recipe. I see the matrix or the distorted matrix in that way. So I always wonder, are the quote unquote people who we see as evil or the elites, not to like absolve them of all of their, you know, things that they've done, but are they here in a way placed by the divine to really test us and to make us question everything and to make us, you know, because we're questioning them so much, it actually helps us to find the actual truths of this world.
That's a really good point, because what I was going to ask you is what is the fundamental reason for decoding? And now you already answered that it's to get to the real matrix. And I can only imagine that there would be some sort of test, some sort of agents of distortion that kind of help us to transcend, right? Because in this matrix, we do experience duality and there's negatives and there's positives. And I can't imagine that without the negatives, that I can't imagine that we would experience that much transcendence without those negative forces. So I can see what you're saying. Totally.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dualities are very important. I don't think people realize how important the bad times in our lives are, because if we don't have bad times, we aren't motivated to really learn certain lessons if everything is like peaceful and easy. So dualities are absolutely needed. And sometimes you need bad guys and the villains to show our superhero strengths or to mirror the inner villain within us, you know?
Exactly. That darkness that we have inside of us and to transcend that. The most growth comes out of challenges. Yep. And I think that that's something really important to keep in mind, because so many people are, you know, they go through something and they scream, why me? We should look at our challenges as blessings. Like, now I get to transcend to a higher version of myself.
Exactly.
That's beautiful. One of the questions, we received a bunch of questions on Twitter that I'm going to ask you towards the end, but there was one that was in regards to decoding. So Hippie Dippy Danny asked if we could discuss sexual energy in regards to decoding, and if the symbolism of coding is infused with sexual energy for a specific reason. Does that make sense?
I think I remember seeing that question. Yeah, I think what they were trying to ask is like, what's the role that like sexual energy plays in like decoding and like occultism and stuff like that?
Yeah.
This would have a really long answer. So I'm trying to think about how to break it down as easy as possible.
And I'll make sure to link all of your Twitter and your websites, because I know that you do live streams where you really go in depth with these. I'll make sure that people have access to you in that way. Go on.
Yeah. But I would say the easiest way to put it is everything starts at life and death, and everything ends at death and then comes back again through rebirth, right? So to create life, at least on Earth, you have to have a male come together with the female. They have, you know, sexual intercourse, and they hopefully will produce a child. That is a mirroring of what happens spiritually. Feminine energy or yin coming and mixing with masculine energy and yang and creating life of all forms, not just, you know, as humans, but just anything that we see and that's living, that's conscious. It takes that yin and that yang coming together, doing their dance. Some would say that, you know, the Big Bang was like a big sexual intercourse and then an orgasm and then creative life, right? Mm-hmm. So everything in a way goes back to sex or sacral energy. So to control the life that somebody creates for themselves, to control the reality that people manifest individually and collectively, you would then want to start where life starts, sex, right? Sacral energy. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to throw people's manifestations and reality off. They want to create a distorted reality collectively and individually through distorting their view of sex, their connection to sex, and their connection to sacral energy. So we see our world is very hypersexual. Why? Mm-hmm. Because that is a distortion of, you know, sacral energy and sex. So the role that sexual energy would then play in like occult symbolism is that is trying to distort people's, you know, connection or relationship with sacral energy and sex. Because once you do that, you throw off their reality and everything that they create. And our reality is a creation or an extension of our perception, right? So right. To break down one's perception and one's reality and thus what's physically created, you know, in our society, you need to start with sex. So that would be the short answer.
Yeah. And that makes complete sense. I just have a kind of a follow-up question to that, just because it's kind of a tangent too. You know that you are very hypnotic, Indy. Like in our conversation, I'm noticing your aura. So I don't always see auras on the screen. I usually have to be sitting with a person and talking to them for a while before I can actually physically see it. And I'm seeing yours and it's so strong and beautiful. And I've just been hypnotized. It's really crazy.
Oh, thank you. You know what's funny? I actually just recorded a podcast last week. Uh-huh. And the guy who recorded me, his name's like Mr. Manifest on Twitter. He told me the same thing. He's like, after the podcast was over, he's like, I didn't want to tell you during the podcast because I didn't know if you would like feel some type of way, but like I saw your aura the entire time. And I was
that's
like
crazy.
Yeah. So he said crazy. The exact same thing. That's funny.
And it's very hypnotizing. It's been almost distracting for me, but I'm just like, I'm just going to flow with this. This is beautiful. Yeah. I love this. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make, just so you know where I'm at mentally. And I wanted to ask you, so a lot of the time when we talk about these occult things and these esoteric practices and kind of like whoever is keeping us stuck in this distorted matrix, we say mm-hmm. they a lot. I do the same thing. In mm-hmm. your perspective, who is that they, if you want to talk about that?
They, I guess you would call that the elites. So it's basically, you know, people don't like the word elites. I don't really care to use it for them because they say it gives them this, you know, elitist connotation, which, you know, I guess I could agree because words are spells in a way, right?
Right.
So I just use the word because everybody knows what you mean when you say elites, right?
Right.
When it comes mm-hmm. to conspiracy theories and stuff like that. But the elites are basically just the small group of unknown beings who kind of control what's going on in our matrix or in our distorted matrix, right? So these are the ones mm-hmm. who you don't suspect, you don't see.
So not the celebrities.
Yeah, not the celebrities, mm-hmm. not the public figures. They're connected to them and they control these beings. But a lot of people think that those are the even the billionaires, you think are the elites, when really the billionaires, the politicians, the public figures, the celebrities, they all work in order underneath this small group of unknown beings. These unknown beings aren't for the most part human, at least not completely human. They become human when they shapeshift into our reality, because in order to exist on Earth, you have to be in a human body or you'll be too crushed by the pressure. You wouldn't be able to, like, you know, exist here. But yeah, they're not anyone you've ever seen, at least from a physical eye. You know, when I'm astral traveling, I can see different types of creatures, beings, energies, and things like that. But like on an earthly level, it's not people we see. Everyone we see are just, you know, either scapegoats or they work for this small group of people who truly pull the strings of, you know, this matrix.
So we're saying that Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos are not the elites, but they're the puppets, right?
They're the puppets or the scapegoats. You know, these are who they want people to think are the quote unquote elites because they're the billionaires and they have all the money, but money and like being rich isn't necessarily that important to these small, you know, groups of quote unquote elites who are really running the show. They care more about energy, power, and money is a form of energy. So of course, you know, money is important in all of it, but that's not their concern, you know? So the billionaires and the millionaires and stuff like that, those are the scapegoats who kind of, you know, do what they say. They fall in line, basically.
So speaking of transforming into humans, shape-shifting into humans, one of the reasons I was really excited to get to talk to you today is so that we can talk about the transhumanist agenda.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what transhumanism is before we get into the agenda? Because I think it's all connected, right, with decoding and these quote unquote elites and all that.
So I actually have notes. I'm going to like grab them.
Grab
them. And I have these notes because not only did I like not want to forget anything, but I actually like did some astral traveling before like our interview I told you. So I kind of like did some
casual Akashic research.
Yeah. Casual, quick things. Basically, transhumanism, what is it? It's basically just going beyond the human experience. So you have a natural form of transhumanism, which is what we kind of do when we astral travel, even dreaming, when we tap into our psychic abilities, our spiritual abilities. That, in a way, is transhumanism, accepting our galactic roots. If you have any, not everybody has, you know, certain DNA, but accepting your DNA outside of being a human through our spiritual journey, that in a way is transhumanism. Then like you have the matrix and a distorted matrix, you have transhumanism, and then you have the distorted transhumanism. So distorted transhumanism is basically trying to remove humans from not only being a human, but also from our pure carbon-like energy, right? By turning humans into, some people would say cyborgs, some people would say robots, right? Some people would say
bionic beings.
Yeah, it's basically just kind of like mixing humans with different types of synthetic or distorted DNA to transcend the human experience, but not in the way you're naturally doing it spiritually. So instead of doing it in a more of a natural, high vibrational way, their form of transhumanism is to take, is to make humans basically more detached, because
more,
I guess you could say, yeah, more synthetic, because although even humans as we know it now aren't necessarily the most pure creation, the pure creation of man, that's why it's called human, it's a shade of man, that man is more of a pure creation. And even that, you could say, is an experiment for some galactic beings. Human, a shade of man, isn't necessarily completely pure, but it's still some of that energy within it. Transhumanism is taking human away from man completely and just becoming, you know, something synthetic or something fake. On the opposite end, so you have the transhumanism, which is more like shape-shifting, humans kind of like mixing with different types of DNA. So there's, yeah, there's different types of transhumanism, I would describe it.
Like the chimeras that they've been talking about.
Yeah, the chimeras. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is really scary for me as someone who used to watch Full Metal Alchemist. I don't know if you've ever seen what they showed with the chimeras in that show, but it traumatized me.
Yeah, so, and even Hunter Hunter. And I'm, yeah. Hunter Hunter is one of my favorite animes. And it's actually, I decoded Hunter
I'm
Hunter.
Sold. And I'm sold.
Yes, I love Hunter Hunter. And I decoded it. And there's actually an arc completely dedicated to chimera ants. And it kind of shows some parallels to what's going on right now. So I actually made a tweet, I think it was October or November of 2020. And Spirit told me the chimera ants are coming.
Oof.
And that was like November 2020. And then there was a tweet that came out, when was it, like maybe last month, that actually talked, there was like some sort of like clause and like a law or something about like chimera ants. And I was so,
oh my God,
blown away. Like, I'm used to like, you know, my spiritual channelings coming true, but that to be so real
and so strange.
Yes. And when I sleep, for the most part, instead of dreaming, I will travel in the astrals. And I actually saw, you know, a piece of our future, and I saw chimera ants coming. I forget where they were coming from. It was some like tunnel, but the tunnel was in a city. Now, I wasn't sure if it was New York City. It seemed like it was in New York City, but it could have been any major city. And it was some big building that they were all coming out of, and they were released to live amongst humans. And ever since that astral travel, we are seeing TV shows about you know, chimera ants or like babies being mixed with all different types of like animal DNA.
Uh-huh. I think that sexy like beast Netflix show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's like a dating show where you're dating different types of creatures. Like it's all coming out slowly and people just think it's fiction when it's like, no, it's a foreshadowing of what's to come, whether it's in our generations or the next few generation is basically kind of foreshadowing what's to come.
Before we keep talking about transhumanism, do you think that we are able to transcend this future possibility? Is this a possibility or is it cemented in your perspective?
Yeah, there's absolutely, you know, a way to kind of like transcend their plans. It's just like, it's more so about like the possibility of it, right? It's like, what are the odds that like humans are going to have a grand awakening and be able to dodge certain contracts? Because what the quote unquote elites do, they do it in a way with our consent, right? With human consent. Even if you think about it from an energetic perspective, I just made a tweet about this. You have a give and a take naturally. That's the yin and the yang, the subtraction and the adding of energy. So when you take away energy, when you subtract energy, someone or something has to give energy in order for you to take. So in order for elites to have their plans come about and be manifested without having to basically face spiritual repercussions or consequences, they have to have energies giving them that energy. Mm. And that giving is consent. So we, in a way, have given our consent to a lot of the programs and systems and, you know, mayhem that we're witnessing. We have given our consent, because if we haven't given our consent, it wouldn't be happening, because we wouldn't even allow it to happen. We wouldn't have manifested it. Everything we're seeing is a reflection of, you know, our own energies in a way. So the only way we could truly transcend what they want to happen is to take away our consent. But then when you think about it, when you think of like the concept of selling your souls and things like that, when you give consent to sell your soul, it's a contract. You're locked in for how many years, how many lifetimes? Human beings have locked ourselves in a soul contract, basically. Mm. So the elites, they're allotted a certain amount of time to do whatever they want to do, because human beings are basically selling their soul and their time and their energy to keep these programs going. What we're witnessing right now, this chaos and this push and pull and these timeline shifts and everything, this is the most important time, because the contracts are up. You know, we're in a way released. We're kind of floating in this 4D in between energy. So now it's like, who kind of comes in and takes over the lease of Earth? Do we take it back, or do they kind of go back into a new regime? Or is somebody else going to come and fight for the planet? Because there's a lot of intergalactic warfare going on, basically fighting for the lease of the planet. That's what we're witnessing, the fight for Earth and wherever the collective goes. So right now is the most important time if we do want to shift it, but not to like fearmonger and say we don't have that much time. I can't necessarily put a time on it yet because I haven't asked spirit, but right now is really crucial in people awakening and things like this, because this is going to determine where the collective and humanity goes.
And how do we withdraw our consent? And what should we be doing? What should the average person be doing to help this fight, to help bring in a new paradigm and a new regime that's not controlled by these dark forces?
I would say first, when you take back your soul, you're taking back your power in a way, right? You're taking back your energy. So revoking your dependency on this matrix, basically, because this distorted matrix is like a parasite. It's basically deworming.
Yeah, that makes sense. Deworming. Mm-hmm.
Itself, right? Yeah. From this parasite of this distorted matrix. So the process of that would be starting to remember who you are at a soul level, starting to take back your energy and your power, starting to revoke consent, because you can revoke consent after you give it. Sometimes, however, if you're in a contract, you're going to have to pay certain karmic debts first before you can completely reach like equilibrium again or go back into your pure energy. But you can start to revoke consent and become more conscious of where you're giving your consent to. So I guess the average human, like on an earth level, it would be something as simple as actually reading the terms and conditions. No one wants to do that.
Right.
You know, it's so long, but at the end of the day, we have to take accountability in some way, because we don't have to use the internet. We don't have to sign the terms and conditions to use Twitter. We want to. And so we're bypassing these terms and conditions to take the easy way out. I mean, I've done it, right? I'm on Twitter and stuff like that. We all do it, right? But we're bypassing these hardships because we're so comfortable in the way we live. So it's basically stepping outside of your comfort zone and stop, you know, don't be so dependent on this system or this matrix. That in a way is like the empowering transhumanism, right? Transcending the human experience that we know in this distorted matrix, basically, and removing all types of attachments and codependency on this matrix.
India, I've been thinking about going off grid and dropping off the internet and just disappearing in this conversation.
We're pushing you towards that.
We're
all thinking, I literally have been buying so many books on like how to survive an apocalypse and how to live off of the grid, you know, just because like that is really my dream. That's my goal right now. I want to just move away either in the mountains or just get a bunch of like farmland and just really duck off. And I feel like a lot of people are feeling like that.
Are doing this. Yeah. There are so many YouTube videos. I'll send you some.
Yes.
That really show the process. There's so many, all these people creating homesteads. It's really interesting. I'll send you some. I think it's so funny that I tweeted right before we got on our call. I tweeted saying in an apocalyptic scenario, at least I will be able to serve tea gracefully. Because
oh my God.
At least I can do that. I have a lot of learning to do. Uh-huh. Okay, so to steer the conversation a little bit back towards transhumanism. So I really, before our conversation, didn't have much understanding of what it is, but I'm kind of seeing a little bit of the agenda, which of course I want you to talk about. What I'm deducing is that transhumanism ultimately is a way to trap human souls in bodies, in physical bodies, for even longer.
Yes. Yes. To keep their system going even longer. You even see like, you know, the whole immortality thing, wanting to live forever.
Right.
When you live forever, you're basically trying to beat karma. You're trying to pay back your debts. Reincarnation is basically having a second chance or redemption to, you know, finish anything that you didn't complete in a past life, or learning lessons that you didn't learn in a past life. It's basically like climbing, you know, a new level in this game, or, you know, this big, I guess, learning experience that Earth and our existence is. When you go towards immortality and living forever on Earth, not only are you like not giving yourself the ability to be karma or to redeem yourself, I guess, from past karmic flaws and like mistakes and things like that, but you're racking on more karma, right? So the entire time that you're staying, you know, alive, you're racking on more karma. You're basically selling your soul away for what? Eternity. That's like the big soul contract, because you're giving your soul away to, you know, a synthetic body and going against pure creation to live in a distorted matrix. You're basically giving your soul away to the matrix or the distorted matrix. So in a way, you're kind of just recycling your energy for good. Mm-hmm. You're recycling your energy.
That's what karma would be, when reincarnation is recycling energy for good?
No, the process of immortality that we see on Earth.
Oh, okay.
It would be recycling your energy completely. Like think of like a vacuum or a black hole. You're basically giving yourself to that vacuum or a black hole for good, essentially. And that energy now is going to be used, or can be used, for something else like that you don't even understand, you know?
And it's these people that kind of feel like they're above getting that checks and balances in their life, right?
Yep.
And we can't escape it. It's almost like, I see it from when you were describing it, almost like drinking caffeine and blocking off our receptors for sleep, right? We're blocking off that receptor that tells us, okay, it's time to go to bed. And you're just drinking more and more caffeine, building up all that karma, building up all those chemicals that tell you it's time to go to sleep. And then eventually you have to meet your maker, right? It's going to
crash.
You're going to crash. Exactly. Yep. So I have so much more to ask you about transhumanism, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. So I'm just going to narrow down to the few. You know what I thought was really interesting that you tweeted about? And I brought this up to you and we talked last week. Plastic surgery as transhumanism, kind of as bringing about acceptance and kind of like sneaking it into mainstream society.
Yeah, subconsciously. Yes. So plastic surgery is really one big ritual. And I learned this when I was astral traveling while sleeping. They actually took me to this like underground bunker, you want to call it, or like surgeon office where like different celebrities and like beings and elites and things like that kind of like have plastic surgery parties, and it's one big ritual. And basically it's like a ritual for distortion, you know, because you're distorting the human body and putting in, you're basically turning yourself into a robot. If you think about it, you're putting synthetic
materials
into your body. So you're turning yourself kind of into some sort of robot already. So you're kind of seeing it, you know, sneaked into our subconscious mind in that way. But also it's kind of preparing people to see beings that don't look like humans through the odd forms that humans are turning themselves into. For example, with like these drastic BBLs and like things like that and implants and things like that. There's beings who like have, you know, drastic features, whether it's the body, the face, the head. It's basically kind of like preparing us to live alongside beings that kind of look this or operate like this.
And it kind of feels also like creating sort of a social acceptance and pressure to get these updates, right? And it starts with just physical updates and people are just accepting. It is so socially acceptable now to just fill your face with things and to get these BBLs. TikTok is filled with them.
Yeah. Even like there's people attempting to do it at home. Then you have like Botox. I always thought that was something that like an older woman would go to get to look young. You have, you know, girls as young as like 17, even getting Botox. And I'm not even sure why, like fillers and things like that. I'm not sure why, because I always thought that was like first aging. So it's crazy how like much it's became like a culture of its own.
Exactly. A completely accepted culture. So we kind of already talked about the spiritual. So I was going to ask you about the spiritual implications, but you've already explained that beautifully, that we're kind of escaping karma. You know, people are trying to escape karma, the agenda behind it. I offered that perhaps it's to keep us living, you know, to keep these souls stuck in these vessels for as long as possible. But is there other parts of that agenda?
Yeah. So like, I guess another spiritual implication that I kind of found when I went to the astrals really quick was that basically like, because I remember someone asking if like transhumanism could create like some sort of spiritual imbalance.
And like, that's one of the questions.
Yeah. So basically like everything that you just said, but also I kind of saw that it's further taking people away from their ego. So I'm a Leo, right? So I love everything ego based, right? So the spiritual community, especially the New Age community, demonizes the ego, and that's all a part of the plan. Killing your ego, you're not supposed to do that. Your ego is your protection, but it's also your individual energy, but it's also your purpose on earth and in, you know, your spiritual experience. When you kill your ego, you're killing your ability to be protected. You're killing your ability to kind of like know what your spiritual purpose is, but you're also killing your ability to reach enlightenment and to be conscious. Because as we said in the beginning of, you know, the podcast, the entrance to the spiritual realm or the subconscious mind is through the conscious mind. And the ego is that consciousness. It is that window to, you know, the spiritual side of life, spiritual energies, spiritual realm. When you kill your ego, you're killing your door to kind of leave the lower mind or the wounded ego mind, right? So the ego is very important. And right now their big plan is to kill the ego. Even like, I'm not going to get too much into it because we know like how controversial this topic is, but let's just say kind of what we're seeing right now, it's kind of funny how solar plexus chakra is the sun and the name of something that we know going on right now is connected to, you know, another word for the sun or the rays around the sun, you know, a virus on that is basically a virus or an attack on the solar plexus, AKA the virus or the attack on the ego, one's consciousness. basically put it, you know, putting that all together. So
this is decoding in action, you guys.
Yes. So transhumanism is actually a form of killing that ego. It's turning everyone into sheep, or, you know, the same person. Race. We're kind of, you know how, yes. Mm-hmm. And you know how people say, you know, we're in the Aquarian era. A downfall to the Aquarian era is becoming sheep.
Herd mentality.
Yes, herd mentality. Because Aquarius rules the collective, but it also at its weakest points can show someone losing their identity, which is that Leo energy to blend into the collective. When you lose that, you lose your piece in this puzzle. If you think of puzzle pieces don't make fun of other puzzle pieces for not being the same shape or for not looking the same. They embrace these differences or ego to come together to paint a bigger picture, right? So transhumanism and everything we're basically seeing right now is a way to turn everybody into sheep or a herd that doesn't think for themselves, that don't have mm-hmm. their own purpose. And that takes away from, you know, the harmony and the balance of existence.
Oh, that's a beautiful way to put it. And I love hearing things that you say and feel. I just got chills all over my body because Indy, I recorded a video right before this, my new moon in Leo energy reading. And okay. One of the main themes I picked up on is stop trying to transcend your ego. That's mm-hmm. not what the time, it's not the time to be transcending your ego. So hearing you say that, I don't really see other people teaching that to not kill your ego. That's something that yeah. I've always believed. I don't think that we're supposed to be led by the ego. It's more like a passenger in our vehicle, right? But killing the ego is really killing an aspect of yourself that protects you. I completely agree.
Yeah.
I love seeing our parallels. And also I mentioned that all the Aquarian energy that we've had in this whole year and that we're going to continue to have has to be balanced by that Leo energy, by yes. that heart-centric energy.
That individual uniqueness. Yep.
Yes, exactly. Oh, it's like, it's giving me chills because I love it. It just validation for me. So we've already talked about who's ultimately behind this agenda. That was one of my questions. It's kind of like the decoding thing. It is these elites that are trapping us in this, keeping us trapped with us, basically consenting to it on maybe an unconscious level.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say that, like, you know, we're like imprisoned by them. Let's just say it's kind of like we have on fake handcuffs. So we're basically imprisoning ourselves. So what I like to give, the role I like to give the elites is not even like, you know, guards, you know, in a prison. I would call it like, they're like master manipulators, kind of like getting into the psyche of the mind, which that symbolism leads to like serpents and kind of how serpent symbolism is everywhere. They basically use that serpent energy. I don't know if you know about Vedic astrology, but
a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in Vedic astrology, one of my nakshatras, it's my sun nakshatra, it's Ashlesha energy. And Ashlesha mm-hmm. is represented by the serpent. And it also is ruled by Mercury. And Mercury has to do with the mind. So I always thought it was fascinating how like a nakshatra kind of perfectly encompasses how like these elites in a way like manipulate us with like serpent energy in our mind. Mm. Because if you think about it, if you look at the human brain, it looks like a bunch of like serpents and worms.
And coiled together.
Yes. So it's almost like we're not prisoners. We're just being manipulated to be our own, you know, prison guards, basically.
Right.
So yeah, this distorted matrix is more like, we're not even being trapped here. You know, you're not being trapped here. You are tricking yourself into believing you're being trapped. And that's the true trap. So like you said, with like consent and everything, like that's the whole concept of consent. We're basically imprisoning or trapping or, you know, manipulating ourselves. Because in a way, the elites are a reflection of energies within us. They're just the externalized beings of pieces of ourselves that are kind of tricking right. ourselves into imprisoning ourselves, right? So they're yeah. just the actual physical beings that exist outside of us, but they mirror energy within us that are basically our own threat.
Right, just manifestations of what exists in the subconscious of our own psyche.
Exactly.
So really, the agency is still in our hands. And I love hearing you say that, because sometimes when we talk about this stuff, I can get into a place of like, well, what am I supposed to do? You know? And it just hearing that the agency, we still have agency. We still have the power to wake ourselves up, to unshackle ourselves is so empowering, so uplifting. I'm going to just ask you a couple more questions and I'm letting you go. Okay, my love?
I love to answer them. Don't worry.
You're amazing. This has been such an incredible conversation. So I want to ask you some questions that were submitted on Twitter. I think you may have seen. Okay. So transhumanism, there are certain things that I'm curious about that, you know, really do create these bionic humans, but possibly help human beings who are disabled, like hearing aids or artificial hearts and things like that. Is that part of the transhuman agenda, or is that the more benevolent aspect of it?
I guess in a way you could see it as being the more like, you know, benevolent, pure, natural form of transhumanism is basically making something broken better. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I will say, there's a lot of remedies that we see on Earth that aren't natural, or even if they are natural, the one downfall that they have is it doesn't really get to the root of like a certain situation. So I always kind of look at certain ailments that we suffer from, and not to like erase, you know, certain like conditions or anything, but I always look at certain ailments as something deeper. Maybe this is just me being a decoder, but like, what is this kind of revealing on like a spiritual level, an energetic level, and even like a biological level? Why, you know, is this condition happening? Why is this ailment happening?
Anxiety, depression kind of thing.
Yeah. Why is it happening? And maybe why not kind of explore that a little bit more and get to the root and try to solve it outside of like, you know, creating something man-made? Why not, you know, go within? Because I feel like all of our problems can be solved with energies that we have within us. We kind of are our own super, you know, hero, or our own gadget, our own technology, our own medicine. So anything that's wrong with us, or, you know, wrong with us, why not try to solve it with your own energy? And even outside of that, why not try to see maybe this creates a new superpower somewhere else? Because you notice like people who like suffer from like being blind or like from being deaf and things like that, it kind of heightens other senses. So I kind of wonder, like, I don't know if I necessarily have an exact answer for this, but I guess my back and forth is, okay, is it good to use these things to make us better, or is it us avoiding the real root of certain issues?
Right.
So that's kind of like a back and forth for me. I don't know if I necessarily have like, you know, an actual answer that I could give, but that's always something that kind of goes in my mind like that.
That there's a root, there's something there. I think it goes back to what we were saying, that our challenges are our pathways to our transcendence, right? Our pathways to our biggest growth. And I agree with you, as somebody who suffered clinical depression and anxiety, and I was medicated for many years, and I didn't get better until I got off of everything, and spirituality saved me. It really saved me. I agree. Yeah, I completely agree. I think that there was a reason why we had to go through the things that we went through, and they deepened our experience.
Yeah, that's exactly like what I was saying, like in the beginning, like how my spiritual journey literally came from me going through family karma, and that contract was set up, I found out, spiritually to help be a catalyst to my awakening. So I just wonder if we're like messing with that process. Mm-hmm. You know.
So I love that. So Matthew asked a question that is kind of related to what I was just asking. And I think you already answered it. I just want to read it word for word because it was phrased well. I personally embrace integrating with technology in any way that adds capability, wellness, and longevity to my life, all the way to the extent just short of taking over my executive function. What systems can be set in place so that we can trust brain-computer interfaces to not overstep our sovereignty boundary? I don't think that there are any systems that can be put into place, but maybe you have a different response to that.
I don't think there are systems. I feel like any system could really be manipulated. Yeah, I don't think I could think of any system. I did. And it, the crazy thing is I did see that question and I did try to like go within and find an answer for it. But I don't think I came across an actual answer. I think if anything, spirit rejected it as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I understand wanting to enhance wellness, but if it's in a synthetic way that really wasn't created by nature, then we're just kind of feeding into that false distorted matrix. The only thing I can think of that kind of relates to this, which is not anything about making us bionic or cyborgs or transhumanists, is kind of like our use of the internet, maybe our use of like how we use social media for, you know, we have our work online, we share our messages online. So how, what systems do you put into place to make sure that your sovereignty isn't taken from you using these things?
So if you go on my Twitter, the first tweet on my page is a thread, right? And it basically kind of is an entire thread, basically revoking consent, saying that I don't agree to any of the energies or any of the diabolical goals that the World Wide Web is supposed to, you know, put into place. I do not consent to being a part of that. I don't consent to, you know, I guess being watched or having my energy used for certain things outside of my consent or control or awareness. So I do things like that, such as like, because everything really just goes back to consent. So what I try to do is I just try to revoke my consent and try to be as conscious as possible.
Right.
When it comes to using the internet, because, you know, the internet has helped us in so many ways. Social media has helped us in so many ways. So I can't necessarily say, oh, nothing good can come, you know, from anything. I don't necessarily believe in black and white, good and
extremes.
Evil, you know, like Nietzsche. Like Nietzsche, his book Beyond Good and Evil. I don't believe in good and evil. I believe in intentions, you know, intentions and using energies for certain, you know, purposes and things like that. So I can't say, oh, the internet is evil or the internet is completely good. I can't say anything is completely evil or anything is completely good. It's just about intentions of the creator, but also intentions of the user.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to just keep myself grounded in my pure intentions when it comes to using these things. And I encourage everybody else to do the same as well.
Yeah, I love that. And in that line of thinking, I suppose intention would have to somehow play a part in this, in becoming transhuman, right? But I mean, I think when you know the whole scope of it, the agenda, like we were talking about, I don't know how much you would want to feed into that in any way. Like our conversation, I'm not going to lie. Like I'm a proponent of loving yourself, self-love. I'm a very spiritual person, but when I was younger, I was very interested in getting some sort of plastic surgery. And those thoughts still pop up in my head nowadays. You know, I can afford it. I can do whatever I want in my life, but I consciously have to decide not to do it. I consistently have to decide, no, I will not fall into that. And it is so tempting. It's so alluring because we see so much accolade that comes with it, right? Like these women are getting their noses and their butts and all this stuff. And it brings this artificial success. So that temptation still exists, but a conversation like this that makes me see where that's really coming from and that resonates so much. That's it. There's no more thoughts of that.
Something you said also reminded me of something too, is like a lot of people don't even realize where certain actions, decisions, or ideas come from in this program society. So for example, with, you know, plastic surgery, a lot of women would say, well, I'm doing this for myself. I'm doing this because I love myself and I just want to make myself look better. But then when you kind of start to unpack the psyche behind, you know, you start to ask them more questions and, well, why don't you think that you are fine the way you are? Why? It starts to reveal more and more that that idea that you believe is yours isn't yours. It's a programmed idea. And that's basically how the elites in this matrix or this distorted matrix works. It's mind manipulation. It goes back to that serpent energy. It's manipulating someone to think that they believe in something or that they want something when really, truly a lot of people who are like buying into these things such as plastic surgery or anything else that's false, this idea isn't coming from, you know, self-love or, you know, self-care or confidence. It's coming from a programmed idea.
Yeah. And this, I really, for anybody listening, I really don't want anybody to feel badly about themselves if they've done something like that. That's not the,
yeah,
that's not our agenda here. It's more like we have to know, we have to unpack, and we have to decode our reality so that we can make decisions based on the full truth in the future. That's it, right?
Exactly. Yep. I agree completely. It's not about mistakes you did in the past. It's kind of about knowing now. You know, you can't go back and change certain things that happened in the past, because like you said, there was times in the past where I wanted certain things because at the time I thought that's what I wanted, but luckily my, like, you know, consciousness kind of came in before it was too late, or even certain life circumstances. I wonder if I had the money to do it back then, if I would have gone through with this. So maybe I wasn't supposed to have the abundance that I wanted back then because I would have done things like that. But it's not necessarily about, like, you know, it's not about getting too caught up on things that already happened. It's about learning, you know, now, as we only exist in the now, not the present. I mean, not the past or the future. Right. We only exist in the now. So just learning these things now and seeing how maybe those past experiences can serve as some sort of lesson now.
Yeah. And just taking your agency back. And if that's still something that you want to do after having all the information, that's your individual human experience.
Exactly.
That's it, your choice. So the last question I want to ask you is one that I always ask all my guests, Indian, is that's just, and knowing that you're a bookworm now, which I didn't know before, are there any books that you recommend on the topics that we talked about today, or books that you tell everybody, this is a must read, you have to read this book?
So this is a funny thing. a lot of people actually ask me this question. What books do you read? How do you learn about this, this, and that? And I actually have to tell people, unfortunately, I don't read books on spirituality, because most of my knowledge comes from dark knowledge, which is, you know, Akashic. DNA information, both the Akashic, so on and so forth, or channelings. So I, everything that I know right now is all from a channeling or something within. Books that I do read has nothing to do with spirituality. Well, I can't say it has nothing to do with spirituality. It's about finances and neuroscience or biology or dental hygiene, random things like that, that can enhance my physical reality, but that I can also pull like spiritual concepts from. So you could really find spiritual concepts in any book, like any book that you feel guided to read. Practice your decoding by like decoding the message behind that book, and you're going to find, you can find spirituality in any text that you read.
Oh, that's perfect. That's a great answer.
So yeah, unfortunately I don't have a book title.
No, that's great, because that's so true. You can find, you can practice your spirituality in this decoding practice that Indy's taught us today in anything. You're right. Absolutely. And if anybody's interested in learning more about these topics, I would look up transhumanism, decoding. Is there anything else that we kind of want to recommend?
Oh, definitely look into like numerology.
Numerology, astrology.
Astrology, even mythology.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I had
yeah.
a lot of spiritual concepts in it too. So yeah, definitely just things like that.
That's amazing. Indy, where can people find you?
I'm most active on Twitter. So you can find me at Alchemist Indy. Instagram, I'm Indy the Alchemist. My website, drindyeinstein.com. I'm on YouTube, Indy Einstein. I'm not as active, but I'm trying to get back into it. So any of those platforms, people keep telling me, you gotta, you know, film videos and stuff like that. So I'm actually in the process of filming a video about like astral traveling and dreams and stuff like that. So
amazing. So I'm going to link everything below so you guys could find her over there, and her birthday is coming up. I'm not sure when this podcast is going to go up, but go and find Indy and tell her happy birthday anyways. Thank you so much. Thank you. This was so incredible. You're just full of everything. You're amazing. You're mind boggling for real. Thank you so much, my love. That was it for my conversation with Dr. Indy Einstein, or Indy the Alchemist. You can find all her information in the description of this podcast. If you really liked the show, please leave me a review. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Send me a message, send me an email, send me a DM. I want to see what you thought about this super esoteric conversation and if you enjoyed it. It's always so interesting to take these really out there topics and try to see, well, what are the implications of that? How do I fit into this? And how does it affect my physical daily life? And I hope that we did a good job of offering ways to kind of withdraw yourself and ourselves and revoke access to our energy from this distorted matrix. Thank you so much for listening. I love you. Remember to keep your vibrations way, way, way up. And as always, remember to honor the universe inside of you.